And then let go to the extent you can of the need to engage outwardly. The invitation is to soften your eyes, let them be downcast, the muscles to be relaxed, and to turn your gaze inward. Can be helpful to find a posture that supports a balance of relaxation and alertness. Noticing whatever sounds or activities that it is taking for you to settle in. And orienting yourself to your space, balancing your weight on your hips, balancing your head over your spine, taking a moment to scan through your body. Notice any particular feelings of tension, energy, worry that it might have taken to get here. And then inviting, perhaps from the crown of your head down to your feet. Inviting your muscles, your viscera to soften. Softening the forehead and the eyes. The jaws and the tongue. Inviting the neck and shoulders to soften. Inviting the chest and upper back to soften around the bones. Sweeping the attention through your whole torso. Inviting your abdomen to be loose, your belly to relax, inviting your buttocks and thighs to soften, and your lower back to feel supported by your spine or whatever surface that is supporting you right now. Held, supported by the boundless strength of the earth. Allowing your arms and hands to relax. Your legs to be open and soft, letting the energy, any excess energy or tension, drain out the soles of your feet. And then making If it feels right, the resolve, the determination. You have awareness, be at the forefront of attention. Letting everything else fade into the background, the periphery. Inviting a unification of your attention with this moment here, now. Inviting whatever primary anchor of attention that works for you to be predominant. Be sound, sensation, a sense of the whole of the embodied experience flowing through. Or you can rest your attention in the embodied experience of breathing. Noticing an in-breath with an in-breath. Out-breath as an out-breath. Relaxing into the exhale. Softening into stillness at the end of the exhale. And inviting, allowing the next in you. Resting in the moment. Letting the waves of sensation change, breath or sound, and settling. You find the attention pulled in other directions. Noticing, even celebrating a moment of awareness. And inviting the attention to this moment now, this breath, this arising. We'll continue most of the silence from here to here. Last 10 minutes of this meditation. The invitation is the mind feels stable and present to open the lens of awareness to everything that is flowing through in this moment. Sound, sensation, mental and emotional phenomena. The observing capacity of awareness itself. Letting it all flow through. Like flocks of birds flying through a crystal blue fall sky. the last remaining moments of this meditation. The invitation is to gather up. Gather up and savor any moments of present awareness, relaxation, or calm. Any benefits, no matter how slight, gather them up and hold them close in the heart. Soak in them, steep in them. And with any moments of difficulty or distraction, the mind doing its thing, to offer kindness, patience, allowing. It's all okay, it's all included. And as we come this meditation to a close, casting your internal gaze outwards to the other people in this room or this Zoom room, to your companions in practice, near, near, and far. Wish them well. Wish them kindness, goodwill. And then expanding the circle outwards in all directions. Wishing others well. All is to myself. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy and safe. May all beings be peaceful and free. Of your practice. Everyone. Welcome. Those of you who tiptoed in, a special welcome. Just invite you to take a moment. We're down a camera, so Zoom participants, I apologize. You can't see the call today because the cell phone that operates as a camera is not working today. So just please wish each other well, whether you're here, and know that if you're on Zoom, the upwards of 17 people here are wishing you well as well. And trust that you're receiving that as you're giving it. Thank you for that. So on this Halloween day, I am going to talk about Halloween candy for a minute and then go into a little bit of a rhythm. This is the beginning of a time of year when there are a lot of treats around, a lot of sugar, a lot of temptations. And tonight in particular, you might be going out to a Halloween thing. You might be sitting inside your front door giving treats out to little kids. You might be ignoring the whole thing. But in any case, more and more candy starts to appear. Have you noticed? Right? So I want to take that as an opportunity to first confess that I have a weakness for certain little kids' candy. I'm sure none of you do, but you know. So it can be an act of will to notice that sense desire as sense desire rather than just starting to inhale it. Take a treat here, take a treat there. So this has been a human tendency, whether through taste or through other pleasant inputs, since well before the time of the Buddha, I'm confident, but definitely in the time of the Buddha. And he tells a number of stories about relating to sense desires, or the five chords of sensuality, they're called. Taste, which I just talked about, sight, sound, smell, and touch, which includes internal and external sensations. So one of the stories the Buddha likes to tell is a story of a hapless monkey. So this monkey is wandering around in territory that most monkeys consider a little dangerous. This is a part of the ancient Indian landscape where humans and monkeys can both go. And back in ancient India, humans liked to trap monkeys for their own ends. Not so good for the monkey. So this monkey is careless and it goes near a sweet treat and puts its paw out and it gets stuck on a trap, this board. And it tries to pull its little hand free and it can't and it can't and it can't. So it puts the other hand to try to push the first one on. And what do you think happens? So then, my feet. Okay, one foot goes up. Gosh. Now it's got two hands and a foot stuck. The other foot goes up. Gosh. Even more stuck. And in desperation, this monkey does a face plant, its muzzle, its nose right into the board, to try to push all the other limbs free, and it's stuck again. Not good news. So the Buddha talks about this nose, hand, hand, foot, foot, or paw, 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 if you prefer, those as being the five points of sense contact, the five traps for sense contact. And this poor monkey is just stuck there until either someone decides to make away with it for their own purposes or someone rescues it. So what I like to imagine is that one of its little friends comes along with some kind of solution, gentle solvent to wash this monkey free. And that, friends, is mindfulness, awareness, wisdom, that we don't have to be stuck to our desires and get continuously more and more tangled up with them, whether they be that sweet treat or something else. That the awareness begins to dissolve the stickiness between us and our sense desires. Right? There's a middle step, a next step that's helpful here. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm really hooked, I'm really stuck in my sense desires, mindfulness isn't necessarily the first thing to come up, right? It's often more greed or aversion, or I want to get out of this, or I want more of that. And it kind of feeds on itself, right? Well, this intermediate step is a shift out of the mental discursive level of thinking to the immediate embodied experience of being present right now. The Buddha calls this a shift from careless attention to profound attention. And I touched on this last week. Careless attention, yoniso manasikara in the Pali. Profound attention, yoniso manasikara. And that shift enables us to move out of the virtual reality engines of our brains and our thoughts and our I want this and I don't want that and this is this way because of blah, 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 and into something much simpler. Oh, desire arising. Oh, this is unpleasant. Whatever it is. So noticing that shift and inviting that shift, it involves mindfulness and it involves this deeper level, broader level of attention. A lot of times when really trapped in wanting something, let's just use, excuse me, when really stuck on sense desire, a lot of times there's something else going on at play, right? Some other need that's being fulfilled or want that's being fulfilled or thing that's being pushed away is at play, right? You know, a small bowl of ice cream is one thing. If I'm going for the whole pint, it's not about the ice cream, it's about something else. Perhaps an addiction of some kind or feeding something that's not getting fed emotionally. The Buddha talks about some of these underlying impulses or underlying mental traps as being hindrances. Five hindrances in particular. Sense desire itself, so that craving or addiction for sugar or something else. Ill will, whether towards ourselves or someone else. There's restlessness and remorse, worry and flurry. One translator translates that, which I love. A little bit, right? And then a rigidity or a freeze state that in the old English is called sloth and torpor, or doubt, vacillation, confusion. I don't know, should I do this? Should I do that? That kind of thing. So to notice if you're drawn in, stuck to one or more of your senses, if some of these others might be at play, might have you hooked. And then there's a shift of going into this profound attention, which can be in dialogue with, hold, have a little distance from these tendencies. There's another story in the ancient discourses. The Buddha talks about the story of the quail and the hawk. By the time we get to this story, the hawk has the quail fastly in its talons and is flying away with it. Not a good day for the quail. But the hawk is so confident that when the quail is lamenting, oh, I'm trapped, it's over for me, I wish I'd stuck to my own home. Alex says, oh, it won't make any difference. I'll drop you at your home and I'll catch you again. And so it flies the quail back to its pasture, its little field, drops her, and she immediately makes a beeline down to that field and hides beneath a clump of dirt. The hawk can't get her. The hawk messes itself up trying and eventually flies away frustrated. The moral in that, as the Buddha told the story, is that that field is the four foundations of mindfulness. Tuning into the body, tuning into the feelings, sensations, and our responses to them. Tuning into the general attitude or mood of our mind, and noticing thoughts and emotions and other mental activity as such in the moment. That's the fourth foundation, dhammas, arisings. So in these next days, between now and next Tuesday, I want to encourage you. You start feeling stuck, notice what's underneath. Shift to your embodied attention. And see if you can hang out in the safe pastures of the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Thank you. So before I let you go, I'm going to make a couple of announcements and then dedicate the merit. Are there any announcements before I announce?
Okay. Donna Talk, Upstairs and Faces. We have the Donna Basket in the back for the keeping the facility running and also for the instructor who puts in a tremendous amount of time. And we need to keep them here, so help whenever you can. If you can't donate any money, think about volunteering. I can tell you that I've gotten so much out of volunteering that I've gotten so much more than this place is just awesome. So think about that. You can go on the website and donate there or volunteer there.
Thank you, Manny. So if anyone is interested in volunteering, I do have slips of paper with some of the things that we need the most up here. You're welcome to come up and I can hand you one. It's got the contact information on it. And whether you choose to offer your generosity in any of those forms or not, I just want to name how much I appreciate the generosity of your practice of coming here, of taking this time to tune into your heart, your mind, and cultivate yourself. It benefits you and it benefits the world. So may the benefits of our practice ripple outwards in our lives and hearts and in all of the lives and hearts we touch. May all beings everywhere be happy, safe, and free. Thank you, Zoom Sangha. Good to see you.